Feed your faith, and your doubts will starve to death. A common factor linking all of our readings this morning is faith and hope. Hosea put faith and hope in God. Abraham put faith and hope in God. The synagogue ruler, the woman who'd been hemorrhaging, they put their faith and hope in God through Jesus Christ, and it made a difference. And we all put our faith and hope into something, don't we? We always do. Actually, this morning, every single one of you has exercised that probably 100 times over. But I'll give you one instance. For example, I didn't see any of you on your way into this building this morning stop and check that the pew that you were about to sit on was structurally sound and capable of taking your weight. I didn't see anybody do that. Now, because you look at it and you think, I've sat on this loads of times. I've sat on stuff like this loads of times. And you put your faith and your hope in it, it's going to be there for you. It will not give way. You know it because of experience. And you know, it's just like that with God. The more we get to know him, the more we experience of him, the more we realise that our faith and our hope in him is well founded, as we've been singing right at the beginning of our time together here. We put our faith and hope into something that is good and strong and reliable, and the only thing that can truly be relied upon in this life and the next, that has been testified to by countless numbers across the generations and the millennia, is the fact that God loves us and he wants us to know him and to partner with him and to live our lives in faith and hope with him, because he can be relied upon. And we put our faith and hope in all kinds of stuff, all earthly stuff, don't we? We can put it in stocks and shares. We can put it in our bank balance. But you know what? There are economic crashes, aren't there? And we've experienced them way too many times. You can put your faith and your hope in your health or your career, and outside circumstances will come along and affect it. No, the only thing that can be truly relied upon for our faith and our hope is God himself. But faith and hope have got a partner, and it's called doubt. And the moment you start to put your faith and hope in God, doubt will come up and start going at you in your ear. What are you doing that for? What a waste of time that is. You could be doing something else. Make a cup of tea. The lawn needs cutting. The house needs dusting. Whatever. Doubt comes along it. Now, out of those then, out of faith and hope and doubt, which one's going to win through? Dead easy answer. The one that you feed the most. That's the one that will win through. The one that you feed the most. If you keep focusing on the doubts and all the problems and difficulties and challenges, that's going to win. If you focus in on the faith and the hope that is in God, that is truly and can be truly relied upon, that's when things start to change. Because God can be relied upon. All things are possible with God. Look at our readings today. And I came across a statistic about how many, the percentage of the global population that actually are genetically related to Abraham. And it's astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. All things are possible with God. But how do we feed faith and hope? We surround ourselves with good things. Surround yourself with the truth and the promises of God. That builds faith and it builds hope. What does Hosea say in the reading there this morning? He says, let us press on to know the Lord. The psalmist talks about making an offering of thanksgiving. Abraham, it says, gave glory to God. Worship changes things. And it changes us. But it does not deny and it does not ignore the circumstances within with which we find ourselves. But it does enable us to focus on the way out of it, on the truth. And when we enter into worship, our faith is fueled. We are changed. And all of those folks detailed in our readings this morning, they accepted their circumstances, but chose to acknowledge that God was bigger than them. That was a major difference. Why did they do that? Because they put their faith and hope in God, because they knew he could be relied upon. If you have never experienced that, if you do not know yet that position of faith and hope that comes from you placing your trust in God through Jesus Christ, I might ask you a simple question. What are you waiting for? Get on with it. Change your life. Change your eternal destiny. All things are possible through God. How do we build that up? Some practical things that I do. I used to love waking up to the day, and the first thing I would do is I'd listen to the news, because I love the news. I can have an insatiable appetite for the news. If I'm not careful, I'm a glutton for news. And then one day I just felt the Lord say to me, is that the best way you can start your day, Dave? Listening to all this disaster and all this trouble. And I thought to myself, no, you're absolutely right. There's a much better way for me to start my day. And it's focusing on the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what I'm using at the moment, a fabulous little app from the 24/7 prayer group. And it's got something for the morning, something for the evening. It's beautiful. Just a little focus straight away. Download it. Use it. Spend time with the Lord. What if the first thing you say in the morning is, good morning, Lord. What we're going to do together today. Get your focus right. Tune into him. Circumstances affect our faith and our hope. What we choose to surround ourselves with changes things. I like growing vegetables. I'm not particularly good at it, but I like growing vegetables. But I tell you what I've learned. If I want my vegetables to thrive and to flourish, I've got to take care of the circumstances within which they are planted. If I don't water them, if I don't feed them, they're going to get sick. I'm trying to look out for disease and pestilence and things like that. Stuff like that. The circumstances, the soil, the environment that's around it affects the growth of those vegetables. Now, it's exactly the same with us. What we choose to surround ourselves with changes us and how we deal with the world around us. Worship alters all of that. Because it gets us away from looking down at our problems and looking up to the King, where our help comes from. Circumstances. It's not about ignoring them, but it's about choosing the right way to deal with them and surrounding ourselves with good stuff then. And another way I'll do that is I'll put on music. Christian music, worship music, when I know I need my spirit lifting. Now, you know, all of this will try to be blocked in you. The moment you try to grow your faith and hope, the devil's going to get in and try and stop you. Now, I guarantee that, because Jesus told us he would. And I tell you from personal experience as well, and those of you who are involved in that know the truth behind it. So the devil's going to come in and try and stop you. And he'll say all kinds of things. He'll put all kinds of stuff in the way to crush your hope. Don't let him. And when you feel that circumstances are really starting to grind you down, change them with worship and prayer. Cut some time out, light a candle, sit down, whatever you choose to do, whatever works for you, silence or sound, whatever works, but get your focus onto God. Whatever the situation is that you're having a problem with, find some scriptures that speak the promises of God over that. Do you know what? It's so easy to do these days. Just Google it. And you'll get a list of scriptures that you can speak over any particular situation or challenge that you are facing. Feed your faith, and doubts will starve to death. And we become the better for it. Worship makes a difference. I read this week that hope says something good is going to happen. Hope says that God can do the impossible. Hope says that when what God does is not based on who I am, but on who He is. All things are possible with God. Now, the synagogue leader really stepped out in faith and hope. Just think around that situation a little bit. Because the synagogue leaders were the people who were standing up against Jesus and trying to kick him out. And yet we're here is a senior synagogue leader who comes directly to Jesus for help. That was a big step of faith and hope. The woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. In Luke's account, it tells us that Jesus says that he felt power leave him when she touched him. God respects our acts of faith. Jesus said on that particular occasion, he says, someone's touched me. And the disciples said, what are you on about? Of course they touched you. Look at the crowd that's around you. No, he said, someone touched me. In faith and hope. And he felt power drained from him. God respects our acts of faith and hope. Fill your home with music. Fill your car. Fill your ears. Put your pods in. Put on a good Christian podcast. If you want to know what some good ones to listen to, I'll give you a list. Feed your faith. I'll close with some really good practice that Jesus did in the synagogue leader's house. He got rid of distraction. He got rid of it. And that wasn't the first time he did it. And then actually when you start reading through the Acts of the Apostles, you see the disciples doing exactly the same thing. Jesus gets rid of distraction. Now when it talks about wailing and flutes playing, the tradition at that time, and actually if you're listening on the news, when you see devastation, there's great pain and grief and suffering, you can hear some of that culture still. But at that time, the tradition was you would pay for women to come to your house and wail for you when someone had died. And this synthetic screeching would fill the house and the street and the neighbourhood. And then there would be flautists. At one point, a Roman law was passed saying no more than 10 flutes, please, at a funeral. Too much to cope with. And they would pay these people to come and fill the house with this wailing and this screeching. It's a distraction. It wasn't focused. It was focusing on the circumstance and not on the possibility of the faith and hope in God. And what does Jesus do? He says, get out. Just go. And in Luke, he takes just mum and dad, Peter, James and John, into that room. Because they are people who are filled with faith and hope. And that's what Jesus needed around him at that point. Now, if Jesus needed that and to do that, how much more do we need to think about doing that? Faith and hope changes things. All things are possible with God. And there are times when I just need to keep at it. I know that things are on my back. The devil's on my back. And he's speaking lies into my ears. Jesus said he would. Jesus described the devil as a liar, the father of all lies. So don't listen. Let's not listen to him. And so sometimes I have to keep at it. I'll set an alarm. Or sometimes I'm even woken up in the middle of the night knowing that the only thing that's going to shift this is worship and praise and prayer. So I encourage you into that. For there are many situations, aren't there, at the moment, globally, nationally, locally, and personally, that need the faith and the hope of the church to rise up to make a difference. Because all things are possible with God. And worship changes things. So I just want you to take a moment now in the silence and the stillness. If there's anything that has been said here that has challenged you, or you've just felt the Spirit really pointing something out to you to do, to change, to try out, what is that going to look like for you this week? Or today? How might we, individually and as church, feed our faith and hope? For the world needs a church filled with people who know who they are in Christ and operating in his power and in his authority.